Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Amos, the first and fifth chapters. The words of Amos, who was among the shepherds of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of King Uzziah of Judah, and in the days of King Jeroboam, son of Joash of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, "The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds wither, and the top of Carmel dries up. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. I hate, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of your well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." That was some righteousness and justice flowing down on little Everett there. Thank you, Kelly. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Okay, and a short little gospel reading to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 7. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. And the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, our main reading following the narrative lectionary today comes from the prophet Amos. And the thing about prophets is they're not very well liked. because prophets come and say things that nobody wants to hear. It's never like they show up and say, "Great job! Keep up the good work! Everything's great!" No. Prophets show up and say things like, "Everything you're doing is horrible! You've messed up and God's really mad! If you don't get it together, the world is gonna end!" You can see why they weren't very popular. So I was trying to think of a modern example of that kind of message. And, you know, there's that caricature of the guy on the street corner waving a Bible and saying the end is near. But the person that came to mind for me was actually Greta Thunberg as a modern day prophet, because she comes and she speaks words of destruction and even death. And she paints a dire picture of the end, right, of this environmental crisis. And that's what prophets do. They use strong language to grab people's attention and to communicate severity and importance and urgency and to demand change. Amos was a prophet in the northern kingdom, but he was actually from the southern kingdom. So not only was he showing up and saying hard things that nobody wanted to hear, he was an outsider showing up and saying things nobody wanted to hear. So again, not a popular guy. Amos spoke about God's judgment and wrath against the people of the northern kingdom. We don't actually hear a lot of that in today's reading. If you noticed, we jumped and skipped a whole lot We went from chapter 1 to chapter 5 and just left out a whole big chunk. And in that big chunk is mostly judgment and wrath. And as grace-focused Christians, I think we often don't know what to do with that stuff. That, you know, Bible passages about God's judgment and wrath. And especially because those passages have been so misused and abused, and really are continue to be misused and abused in many circles to try and control and manipulate, to try and scare people into certain behavior or condemn groups of people for not fitting into a very narrow box. So because of that misuse, we often prefer to just skip the wrath stuff or pretend it doesn't exist. Sometimes the way we do that is we try to dismiss it by saying, well, that's the Old Testament God, as if the God of the Old Testament is somehow separate from the God of the New Testament. Which, while this might be easier, I really want to discourage us from doing that. Because not only do we run the danger of being anti-Semitic, as if the Hebrew scripture gets it wrong and only Christians, the people of the New Testament, get it right, but it's also not faithful to our own tradition. The Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, that was the scripture of Jesus's faith. And while Jesus offers new interpretations of those scriptures, he does not dismiss them or discredit them. Jesus consistently framed his revelations about God as a continuation, not a replacement of that older tradition. So instead of dismissing Amos's message of God's wrath, I'd like to try and reframe it in a way that highlights the good news that can be found within the difficult message. So first of all, what exactly is Amos's message? Amos was preaching at a time of relative peace and prosperity, at least for some, right? That's how it always goes. And he was preaching to the haves, not the have-nots. He's come to those who have plenty and is proclaiming God's anger at their failure to enact justice. In one of the verses that we skipped, Amos proclaims that the Lord was condemning Israel because they sell the righteous for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. They trample the head of the poor into the dust of the earth and push the afflicted out of the way. The people who have enough are stepping on the people in need. And instead of caring for those who are suffering, they push them out of the way. Then in the section we did read on worship, Amos tells the people that God does not want their worship if it's not connected to the treatment of people within society. God does not want the worship of people who aren't concerned with the treatment of others in their daily life. This is so powerfully important and relevant for us today. How often do we hear the church condemned as hypocritical, right? Because our worship is hollow if we come to this place and sing our songs and say our prayers. All of that is meaningless if it's not paired with care for others, with work towards justice, with action. Acting out God's love in the world. So what is the good news in this? Well, believe it or not, one of the places I find good news in this is actually in God's wrath, in God's anger. Because God's anger that Amos describes, it's not petty. It's not a God of judgment waiting around for us to mess up or step out of line. God's anger and wrath is the powerful anger of a loving parent. It's a mama bear or a papa bear protecting that vulnerable cub. God's anger is righteous anger in response to the vulnerable being mistreated and abused. How would we want our loving God to respond to such injustice? Indifference? Complacency? God's powerful anger at the mistreatment of God's children is a revelation of God's powerful love. Now, the hardest part, at least for me, about reconciling this righteous anger with what we know of God's love and grace is how it condemns me. It's the knowledge that I too am complicit in social injustice. All of us, right? We participate and we benefit from social systems that profit from and perpetuate violence and exploitation, that push those who are suffering to the side, out of sight. So how do we face God's wrath, God's righteous anger? Well, in the last verse of today's reading, Amos offers us a beautiful image of God's will for the world. It's the most famous and probably most powerful verse from this book of the Bible. Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. God's desire for the world, what God wants for us. God desires justice that comes on quickly and powerfully, like torrential rain. And justice that's not temporary or scarce, but life-giving and never-ending. That is God's will, God's design for the world. And Amos issues an invitation for the people to participate in this beautiful world. Amos says, hate evil and love good. Establish justice in the gate. Now, in Hebrew, hate can be translated as reject, and love can be translated as accept. So this isn't just about a warm, fuzzy feeling or how you feel about good and evil. It's a call to action and a call to justice. As angry as God is at the current injustice in the world, the people are still being invited to participate in God's vision for a better world. And that invitation continues on throughout Scripture. No matter how bad things get or how angry the people make God, the invitation is given again and again to come and participate in God's kingdom. The invitation that continues for us today to come and care for one another, to fight injustice, to live out God's love in how we treat the stranger, the downtrodden, those vulnerable and in need. Because the good news is that God's mercy, God's love and compassion is always what's behind God's wrath, and it is even bigger and more powerful than God's wrath. Which is why we can accept the invitation we've been given to participate in God's kingdom, to work and fight for justice, to share God's love in the world. We can accept this invitation without fear, knowing that God's love will catch us even when we fall short. Thanks be to God.